Today we're beginning here on the bottom of Samach Amud Bet, two lines from the bottom. The Gemara begins, Yatsu Shnayim Basiri, to exit as number 10. As the Miuchas Rashi points out over here, Hainu Kagon Amarmar. The equivalent in other places in Shas, where the Gemara would say Amarmar, we want to go investigate this issue a little further. Rav already spoke about the issue of two exiting at the time that it was Asiri, that was the 10th. And depending on what you called them at that point, whether you called them both 10, or you called them both 11, that had an impact. So now we have a three-way machloket in the Braitot as to what the din is with regards to two that exit Basiri. Tani chado yiru. We have one Braitot that says that they go out until they get a mum in them. Tana chado yakarvu. We have another Braitot that says that they go on the Mizbeach. Tanya idoch. And we have a third Braitot that says yamutu, meaning that they are kontinotoli kipa. We put them in, we lock them up, and we starve them, that we put them to death. So now you have three different instructions as to what you do in this situation. Lokasho, not a question. Had the Tanya Yiru, the one that says that, they go out to graze, and you wait for them to get a mum. Rabbonanu, that's the view of the Rabbonan, Damre, because they believe, Emivin Kodoshim, the Beit HaPsul. You're not allowed to accelerate a psul by Kodoshim. Then machloket Rabbi Shimon and the Chachamim with regards to an Hashem and a Shlamim that got mixed up. Hashem and a Shlamim are almost identical in terms of their processing as a Korban. A Shlamim is Shtayim Shein Arba, so is an Hashem. The Hashem has to be done in the Tzafon. Shlamim can be done in Tzafon in Darom, but if you do it in the Tzafon, it's fine. So that matches up as well. So since their Matnot Dam are the same, you would think that if you have a Hashem and a Shlamim mixed up, that you just process them both as Hashemot. But then you have one issue, which is Hashem is Kodshei Kodoshim, can only be eaten for Yom Velayla, one day and one night. On the other hand, Shlamim are eaten for Shnei Yomim Velayla Echad. So here you're going to have to be Machmir that you eat it like a Shlamim, because you don't know which one, Machmir, they've eaten it like an Hashem. You don't know which one it is, you don't know if it's an Hashem or Shlamim, and therefore you're going to have to be Machmir the Hashem. So the Rechamim over there say that you can't do that, because Ein Mivin Kodoshim the Beit Psul. We don't accelerate Kodashim coming or becoming Pasul. In this case, if you take the Shlamim and Hashem and your Makrib, both of them as Ashamot or Choshesh to be an Hasham, then both of them are going to become Pasul at one day and one night. And that means that the Shlamim, which otherwise would have been able to be eaten for another day, you're accelerating the Psul. Therefore, they don't allow it. Rabbi Shimon is an alternate opinion, which is that Mevin Kodashim to be Psul. We allow you to do it in that case. And therefore, you could bring it as an Hashem, Safek Hashem, and have both of them be Hashemot, even though you're accelerating the Psul. So over here, what the Gemara is saying is you have the same problem with a Maser and Shlamim. It's interestingly enough, it's not a time issue, because both the Maser and Shlamim are eaten for Shnei Yamim, Velayla Echad. And they both actually have very similar character traits. They're both Kodshim Kalim. They have some differences, which we'll speak about in a minute, but the Rishonim over here explained that the chazev shok that have to be taken off of a shlamim and given to the kohanim open up the possibility of there being something that's brought the day psul. That's because when you're dealing with maser, the whole thing goes to the balim and it can be eaten by anyone. Therefore, you have rov ochlim, you have tons of people to eat it, and you have anybody can eat it. It can be eaten in Yerushalayim. You have a lot of people that can consume it. The chances of it going to the day psul are very low. The chazev and shok go to the kohanim. Now, first of all, if the kohanim already had a lot of korbanot that day, or you have limited kohanim that are there, there's a chance that the chazev and shok could be left over just because you're dealing with a much smaller class of individuals who can eat it. So now, if you took the maser and the shlamim here that are mixed up together, and you say, bring them both as a shlamim, then you're going to take the chazev and the shok, and from both the animals, and be given it to the kohanim. For the shlamim, that's fine. But for the maser that you're doing that for, you're bringing it to Miveh the day psul because of this possibility that it won't get eaten in that time frame. Just as an aside, it's a different, conceptually it's different than what they argue about in the Gemara and Zvachim, where they're arguing about the reduction of time that you can consume it. Here you're dealing with a reduction in consumers rather than a reduction in time that you can consume it. But because of that, the Chachamim say, we're not going to allow you here, where the 10th and 11th came out simultaneously. And now you have a Maser and Shlamim mixed together because you called them 10. In that instance, the Chachamim say, Yiru Ad Shiyistavu. You let them go out and graze until they get a mum in them, and you'll redeem probably the bigger one, the more expensive one. Use those monies for shlamim, and then both of them are nechal b'muman, like a maser. That's how you're going to treat them. That's how you're going to deal with them, because we won't let you put them in the mizbeach because of the issue of emevim kodeshim, the beit ha'psul. V'ha'adetani, the breaker that says yikarvu, that you put them on the mizbeach, Rabbi Shimoni, that's authored by Rabbi Shimon, who argues here on the Chachamim, Damar mevin kodeshim, the beit ha'psul. Because he says you can't accelerate kodeshim to be a psul, and therefore he'll allow you to put them on the mizbeach, even though you can have a chazev shok that ends up on the maser being given to the kohenim, which reduces the number of consumers. He still thinks that's fine. Therefore, both of them go on the mizbeach, and they're going to be treated like a shlamim. The question here is that maser and shlamim are not exactly alike. That is because the shlamim requires matan damim of shtayim shen arba. Maser only requires matana achat. As the Bali Tosafot already pointed out, that's a machloket tanaim in the Gemara in Zbachim. And so what you do when you have shtayim shen arba that get mixed up with matana achat, do you bring matana achat, which is the view of Rabbi Yeshua, or do you do shtayim shen arba with them, which is the view of Rabbi Eliezer? Tosafot points out that Rabbi Shimon subscribes to Rabbi Eliezer's opinion. So therefore, in this case, you do shtayim shen arba for both korbanot, even though we paskin like Rabbi Yeshua that you only do one matana achat for both korbanot. But there we had the machloket and zbachim as to whether we worry about violating balto sifu balti gra, and the question of whether you're violating actively or passively. That's the machloket Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua over there. So that's as far as the matnot dam. The second thing you have is the problem of smicha and nisachim, which is shlamim requires smicha. Shlamim also require nisachim to be brought with it, which is not true by Meiser Behema. As far as nisachim are concerned, Rashi and other places in Shas, like in Erevin, mentions that you bring one nisachim al tnai. And you say whichever one of the korbanot was a shlamim, it's attached to that shlamim. So that's how we solve the problem of nisachim. The smicha problem is a much bigger problem. In Erevin, Rashi says you do smicha on both of them. The Bali Tosafot over here discussed the problem that when you do smicha, there's a problem what's called hishtamshut v'kodoshim. You're utilizing kodoshim because you have to do smicha b'chol kochol. Therefore, you're leaning on the animal. And if it's inappropriate, then you have a problem of using kodoshim for something that you're not entitled to do. So therefore, Tosafot suggests over here that you don't do smicha on either of them. As opposed to Rashi thinks you do smicha on both of them, Tosafot says you don't do smicha on either of them. Then Tosafot discusses this problem because in Shas, we get mixed messages with regards to the smicha, which is that some places the Gemara indicates that smicha is ma'akev, and if you don't do the smicha, then you can't bring the korban. And in other places the Gemara says, so you bring it, you won't do smicha. So how do I reconcile between this differentiated view throughout Shas? So Tosafot, in trying to come up with an articulated way to explain the difference, says over here, Tzarech lamar korban shein lo takana biri'ya, a korban that has no solution to go out and graze and get a mum in it, va'az la'lamita, and therefore the only option is that it'll be put to death, it'll be kontinoto l'kipah, then yakrivu below smicha. Then you put it on the mizbeach without smicha. Va'yesh lo takana biri'ya, if there is a solution to put it out to graze, asur la'krivo below smicha, then you can't bring it without smicha. Ulekach, and therefore, v'ayidish kalim ubiyoresh karev below smicha, aval kodoshim, bekodoshim, yesh lehem takana. Like in our case over here, there is a solution to the problem, which is that you could put them out to graze and have them get a mum in it. Therefore, it wouldn't necessarily be a solution. And then Tosafot says, v'hadish maitin, in our case over here, and in other instances where we bring it out tonight and we don't require a smicha, that is because shani hotam de tchilat hafrashat korbanot loves b'nei smicha ninu. At the outset of the hafrashat korbanot, they don't really require smicha. Therefore, yev shalosopa and smicha. You can't do smicha on them because they are korbanot that have no association with smicha. Ve'od yesh lomar, hach tishmaititin kochad v'shat hakravato, shema lo mechayev b'smicha. Each one independently, when you look at it, maybe it doesn't require smicha. Ve'lo davi the korban shu bar smicha. It's not like a korban that requires smicha or has smicha, and then you can't do it. Over here, the problem is that the korban itself does not require smicha. So therefore, in this instance, Tosafot says, you're not going to do smicha, and the smicha is not going to be ma'akev. Tavatani yamutu. Third break that says that they are put to death. Rabbi Yehudi, That's Shitat Rabbi Yehuda, Damar, Taut Maser, Tmura, Havyo. Because we saw back on yesterday's daf, the Rabbi Yehuda believes, if you make a mistake with Maser, it's the equivalent of generating Tmura. It's as if you're making the 10th one, and then exchanging it onto the 11th, or taking the 10th one and exchanging it onto the 9th one. And therefore, it's called Tmura, and because of Rabbi Yehuda, Tmurat Maser Meta. And he believes that Tmura of Maser is put to death, which is not so clear why that should be, or where he gets it from. The Rabbeinu Gershom just says, Kitzmurat Chatat. Just like a Tmura of a Chatat, that is actually a local emotion in Sinai, that Chavesh Chatot Meitot. And then we have the same thing with regards to an Hashem would go out to graze Yiruat Shistabu. So I don't know why they look at the paradigm of Chatat and say that Tmurat Chatat is Meta. You have Tmurat Hashem, which goes out Yiruat Shistabu. But for whatever reason, the Gemara now assumes that Rabbi Yehuda would believe that Tmurat Maser is the Mita. And given that, then you have now a Tmurat Maser in the 11th one. And since it's the Mita, and it's mixed up with the regular Maser, then Shnehem are the Mita. That's the view of that third Braita. So the Gemara right away says, Kasava Rabbi Yehuda, Tmurat Maser Mita. Where do you have that from? I mean, the Gemara made an assumption. It's not even clear the Havamina where it comes from. Again, the Rabbeinu Gershom just speculates that it's like a Chatat. Gemara rejects it, but it never explains really why you would have thought that the Tmurat Maser should be the Mita. So Vatanan Amru Mishum Rabbi Meir, Ilu Aya Tmura, Lo Aya Karev. Rabbi Meir in our Mishnah answers Rabbi Yehuda and says, it can't be that the 11th one is Tmura, because you can't have Tmura go on the Mizbeach. If it really was Tmurat Maser, it wouldn't end up in the Mizbeach. And since it ends up in the Mizbeach, that's proof that it's not a Tmurat Maser. Rabbi Meir's statement to Rabbi Yehuda implies, Michlal, to Rabbi Yehuda Sabar Karev, that Rabbi Yehuda believes it does go on the Mizbeach. Otherwise, what's Rabbi Meir's point? He's telling Rabbi Yehuda it goes on the Mizbeach, therefore it must not be Tmura. That implies that Rabbi Yehuda thinks it goes on the Mizbeach, and that's why he's bringing that proof. Bechitema Rabbi Meir the Mighty Sphere Le Kamar. Maybe Rabbi Meir is talking his own game. It's his own Shita. Which is that, according to me, it can't be Tmura because I think it goes on the Mizbeach. That doesn't imply anything about Rabbi Yehuda's position. Vatanya, we have a Braita. Ein ben acharasar lishlamim. There's no difference between number 11 and a shlamim, a regular shlamim. Ela sheze osek dusha likarev. Vzein osek dusha likarev. Is the difference between them is whether they can generate Tmura in another item. If it's shlamim, it can generate Tmura in another animal that's chulin. If it's number 11, it can't generate Tmura in another animal. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Obviously, this is Rabbi Yehuda's position. Kadosh likarevu delo avid. The diok, which is exactly what you suggested over here. The second time it says likarev over here in the Braita, which was unnecessary. It could just say zeosek dusha likarev, bezeonosek dusha, because of course it's not going to be likarev. So, enozek dusha likarev, what's the extra likarev coming to teach you? The diuk. The diuk is, kadosh likarevu delo avid. It can't generate dusha in something else to make it go on the mizbeach. Hayu gufe karev. It itself does end up in the mizbeach. And that's shitat Rabbi Yehuda. So you see, he doesn't think tmurat maser is the mita. He thinks it goes on the mizbeach. Vod, the tanya. We have another braita. Im min habakar. This is found by the parsha of Shlamim. By the Shlamim, it speaks about tzon, and it speaks about bakar. So the Gemara darshins from the extraneous term, imina bakar, which wouldn't be necessary. Because if you already say mina tzon, then I know the other parsha is speaking about bakar. Because the Shlamim only comes from bakar and tzon. So why do you have to say imina bakar? The rabot, achadasar, the Shlamim. To tell you that number 11 becomes a Shlamim. Rashi and the Ktav Yad and the Rabbeinu Gershom both say it comes from the extra hay in habakar. That's the ribuy over here. Yocho shanim rabeh af shi'i. You would think even number 9 should also become a shlamim. Amart, be hektesh lefanav mikadesh or le'acharav mikadesh. How does hektesh work? Can hektesh be transferred or placed on something else before it exists? Only after it exists. Aviomer le'acharav mikadesh. It only can be afterwards. Which means that when you get to number 9, 10 it doesn't exist yet. Since 10 doesn't exist, you can't claim that the Kedusha from 10 is then coming or devolving upon number 9. Then at number 11, which succeeds number 10, then in that case, the Kedusha of 10 could be what generates number 11. And that's exactly what the Gemara is saying here, that that generation of Kedusha that derives from number 10 makes number 11 into a Shlamim. And that's why it is Habakar. Habakar, to teach you that only number 11 gets it, not number 9, because it says Habakar or Bakar, which includes number 11, but also says Minabakar, only some of them, which excludes number 9. And the Midrash Halacha says Maraita. How do you know which is which? How do you know to exclude 9 and include 11? That's the logic over here. Something that's post number 10 is more likely to have Kedusha because it's deriving from the Kedusha of number 10. Something that's number 9 isn't deriving its Kedusha from number 10, and therefore it's not going to be a Shlamim. And Stam Sifra Mani, the default authorship of Sifra, the Midrash Halacha on Vayikra, is Rabbi Yehuda. So again here, you have Rabbi Yehuda's sheet of Akdanim and Abakar, they're both Acharas al-Shlamim. It also says number 11 goes on the Mizbeach like a Shlamim. So now we have pretty strong evidence of the fact that Rabbi Yehuda believes a number 11 by mistake in Maser that was made into something Kadosh is a Shlamim, and it ends up on the Mizbeach. So even though Rabbi Yehuda holds that it's Tmurat number 10 and it's a Tmurat Maser, nevertheless he believes it does end up on the Mizbeach. We have that evidence from the Sifra, we have that evidence from the Braita, and technically, without the suggestion that Rabbi Meir was speaking about his own Shita, our Mishnah is also Meduyak, that it sounds that way as well, that Rabbi Meir is saying to Rabbi Yehuda, it goes on the Mizbeach, it's not Tmurat Maaser, because otherwise it wouldn't end up on the Mizbeach, which is interesting again, because Rabbi Meir seems to agree with this idea, or think of this idea, that Tmurat Maaser would not be Karev, it wouldn't end up on the Mizbeach. Ela Targamo Rabbi Shimon b'Rabbi Abba kamed Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Shimon b'Rabbi Abba in front of Rabbi Yochanan, meaning explain to Rabbi Yochanan, b'maser b'zman hazeh askinan u'mishum takala. The reason that the third braita says yamutu is because it's today. B'zman hazeh, where we no longer keep the animals around and wait for them to get mumim in them, because of takala. Back on Daf Nun Gimel Amud Aleph, the Gemara discussed the issue of Maser Bizman Hazeh, and it says, we no longer practice Maser Bizman Hazeh according to Rav Huna because Gzeira Mishum Lakuach, Gzeira Mishum Yatom. We're worried about him, including animals that are not Chayav and Maser Behema in his flock, and that will cause problems. The Gemara there says, what does it have to do Bizman Hazeh? That should be a problem even Bizman Habayit. So why do you only need Gzeira Bizman Hazeh? The Gemara says, you're right, the real reason is Mishum Takala. Today, where there's no option to put it on Mizbeach, and you have to wait for a mum, you have a huge chance that something could go wrong in the interim period, which is somebody could eat it, shecht it, giza, voda, all the things that are not permitted with the maser, you could do while you're waiting for the mum. And so therefore, we dissuade people from creating maser behema because of this problem of takala. So that's what's actually mentioned by the Rabbeinu Gershom and the Rashi and the Ktav Yad over here. So the problem maybe is Mishum Takala. If you look at Rabbeinu Gershom, Mishum Takala, Delo Nishte Be'mum. That we don't want you to put a mum into it. That's the Takala. In order to accelerate the process, you're going to end up putting in a mum in it. So that's the Takala. Rashi in the Ktav Yad says, Delo Leite Lemechle Be'lo Mum. That you won't come to eat it without a mum. You won't have Gizan Avoda. That seems to be the simplest explanation. Rabbeinu Gershom's afraid you're going to put the mum in it. And then Miuchas, the Rashi over here, says something even stranger. He quotes Rav Huna. He quotes the Havamin of the Gemara back on Daf Nun Gimel Amud Aleph and says, Lo Sfira Leik Had the Rav Huna. They don't hold of Rav Huna. Damar Bereish Pirkin. Deina Lo Nohog Maaser Gzeira Mishum Lakuach V'Yatom. Rav Huna says, B'Zman Hazeh, we're not Noeg Maaser Beima because of Lakuach V'Yatom. First of all, it's strange that they quote Rav Huna, which is suggesting that they're talking about the Havamin of the Gemara, not the Maskana of the Gemara. That's number one, which is interesting about Miuchas the Rashi. Number two is, he says that our Gemara doesn't hold of that Shita of Rav Huna, and therefore they have a problem of Takala, which implies that the Gemara back on Nun Gimel, and maybe why he's quoting Rav Huna is because Rav Huna says, we don't do Maaser Behema today. And then he brings Mishum Lakuach V'Yatom, the Gemara doesn't like that, it says Mishum Takala. But maybe he's bringing Rav Huna, because Rav Huna's statement is, we don't do Maaser Behema, period, Bizman Hazeh. And now we're suggesting over here, B'maser Bizman Hazeh Skina. It's a case of Maaser Bizman Hazeh. So Miuchas Rashi claims it's a machloket sugiot. Back on the Gemo, it says, we don't do Maaser Bizman Hazeh. Our sugya says, you do Maaser Bizman Hazeh. And that's how they resolve the issue. And maybe that's why he's quoting Rav Huna. The Bali of Tosafot say that the issue is not that it's a machloket, but rather that's a suggestion. Back on the Gemara, it says, don't make my service manaseh because of takala. Argument is dealing with what happens if he did it anyway. If you do meiser, it is kadosh. What happens to those animals in this case? So therefore, it's not necessarily that they're arguing. It's a different question. There it's lechatchila what you shouldn't do. Over here it is b'diabad, what happens if you did make it into maser. But it is important because it might be an indication that the halacha actually changed over time, which is that we find that meiser behema, according to the Bali Tosafot, if you look back on Nun Gimel Amud Aleph, was brought even post Churban HaBayit. There he speaks about Rav Elazar ben Azariah, where in a number of places in Shas, Tosafot tries to deal with this issue, that he was giving large sums of Meiser Behema, that he was taking off his flocks. He had 12,000 Meiser Behema that came off his flocks. He was extremely wealthy. How could he be doing this? He lives, Rav Elazar ben Azariah, post Churban HaBayit. There, Tosafot does the calculation to show that it was post Churban HaBayit, but he doesn't understand. How could he deal with it? So Tosafot over here rejects a number of answers that he gives in other places in Shas. One is, in the Faresh Klal Ari B'Isur Shnotino the Melech. That's what the Tosafot says in other places in Shas. That was tax. It wasn't Meiser Behema. It was taxation by the king. That was the Meiser that he was giving. Tosafot here says, that's not the case, Gemara Nona. But Dochak Nami the Faresh Tapi Chopas Ayelo Kishu Katan. Because he was alive during the Churban. So maybe when he was a Katan, they had a executor of his estate that was giving away the Meiser Behema, and that's what they're referencing to, because it was Bzman HaBayit. That's another answer he gives in other places in Shas, he rejects here. Ushema lo bitlu Meiser Behema kol kach samuch l'churban. Tosafot over here says that the takana, or this b'teila, that Meiser Behema was nitbatel, is a much later gezerah. And that would make a lot of sense, because again, we find Meiser Behema in the Mishnah, in the Tanaim, even in the Amoraim, and even in the halachot of differences between Eretz Yisrael and Bavel, we find that the practice of Meiser Behema persists in Eretz Yisrael way into the time of the Geunim, as opposed to in Bavel, where they were no longer doing it. But we see that there was a takana that was put in place, but it was a very late takana, and that's what the Bali Tosafot are suggesting. And therefore, over here, our Gemara could be reconciled with the Gemara before. Our Gemara is speaking about before that later takana went into place. That's what this Braita was speaking about. That's what the Gemara is speaking about. The Gemara, early in the second, Daf Nun Gimel, speaking about after that Takana, but it was a late Takana. So the suggestion over here is it's Meiser Bizman Azeh, Skinim Mishum Takala, and therefore the Kontzino to the Kippah, they go to death, put to death, because that's the only option here because of Takala. Iochi, if that's the reason that the Braita says it, Iochi Meir Yatrei, Afilu Chadnami, why then did you make the case here, a case of Yatsu Shnaim Basiri? That's not the relevant issue. Even if you have one Meiser Behema, you're going to Kontzino to the Kippah, you're going to put it to death. It's not unique to our situation where you mixed up 10 and 11 that's true. It's even true just with a regular Meiser Behema. Where it says, Lo mi bayi kamar, saying not only, Lo mi bayi chad dalit leib seido, in a case where it's only one Meiser Behema, where the loss is minimal, avotrei, given the nefishib seido, over here where you're going to lose two animals because of this, maybe lishayinu adinipom muma. Maybe we should leave it around until it gets a mum. Vilich linhu, and then you'll be able to eat them, because otherwise you're going to lose two animals over here. Kamash malan, even when the loss is two animals, not just one animal, we say, lemita kontino the kipab is manazeh, because we're too afraid of the issues of takala that exist. Itmar, omer lishlucho. Someone who tells his agent, say vaser alai. Go and do meiser behema on my behalf. So he is now anointing an agent to act on his behalf to do meiser behema for his animals. But papi mishmei the Rav Amar, kara lechi asiri kadosh. If he calls number 9, 10, and he makes it into the kadosh, that would be the din in the Mishnah, it works and it's kadosh. La'achadasar asiri, on the other hand, if he makes number 11, 10, eno kadosh. It doesn't work. So the way that the Miuchas Rashi explains this is because we have the concept which the Gemara is going to invoke in a second, which is that when you make someone an agent, you make them an agent to carry out your agency when they do the right thing. You don't give them agency to do the wrong thing. That is, l'tkunei shedartich, lo le'evutei. I sent you to do the right thing and fix things. I didn't send you to ruin my situation. So now, what he explains is that there's a difference between number 9 and number 11. In the case of number 9, when you make it kadosh, the inconvenience is limited, which is that you just have to wait for it to get a mum. Once you get a mum in it, he can eat it. So there's really no loss over here. On the other hand, if he makes number 11 kadosh, it's not only kadosh, it becomes a shlamim. So now a shlamim, you're going to have to take up to the mikdash, put it on the mizbeach, and then the chazen shok are going to go to the kohanim, which otherwise, if it was a meiser beima, you would have been able to keep, or if it was kulin, you would have been able to keep those items, as well as the possibility of getting hana from the emurim and the chalavim. So now, not only is he causing you the difficulty of having to take it up to the mikdash, bring it as a korban, he's also causing the difficulties that you're going to lose the chazen shok that goes to the kohanim. That's the way Miuchas the Rashi explains it, which is, there's a difference between the minimal loss suffered in a case where you make number 9 kadosh, which is simply, it's kadosh now, you just have to wait for a mum, versus the major inconvenience or loss that's caused when he makes number 11 into a maser, because then it's a shlamim, has to bring it to the mikdash, has to give up the chazev shok to the kohanim. So these are significant things that he would not have considered to be part of his agency, and therefore it's litzkunei shaltich lo levute. It's just interesting because if it's a beimat chulim, you'd have to give the zroa l'chayayim in the keva. So when it's kodashim, you have to give the chazen shok. So what you have to say is that the chazen shok is a much more significant gift than the zroa l'chayayim in keva, because otherwise, what he should be indifferent between the two situations, aside from having to take it up to Yerushalayim and bring it as a korban. That's the way that the Miuchas Rashi explains it. Tosfot over here comes up with a logic that says that maybe even without that, you could still say the reason that she works is Kasavra Papi, the Lo Shaykh Kan Litkune Shadatik Lo Evute came in the Nechal Bemumo. It's not relevant by number 9. That's the same way that Miuchas Rashi explained it. Inami, Hainu Taimo, Dechadasadra Papi, Mishash Yotza Siri Avde Lishukute, the Siri Me'elav Kadosh. The reason that you don't work by number 11 is because your agency has been terminated. You were asked to do Meiser Be'ema. Once number 10 became the Meiser, then you no longer have any agency. You can't act on behalf of the Baalim. When it comes to number 11, your agency has been terminated already and you can't do anything until number 11. Number 9, you can have impact on because your agency is still intact because you haven't done Meiser, you haven't brought number 10. So Tosfot says, even without the Tzkunei Shadatich Lo Levute, where he suggests over here, it's not such a big deal because you get a moment, it's not such a big issue. But nevertheless, the difference between 9 and 11 is, by 9, your agency is still intact. By 11, your agency is already terminated. So that could be another way to explain the logic in Rav Papi. Rav Papa, on the other hand, disagrees on both. Amar afilu kara l'chia siri inu kadosh, darmalei Tzkunei Shadatich Lo Levute. He considers this to be a problem. If you have to wait around for a mum now in the animal to eat it, you can't do gizav avoda. There are losses that you are suffering even when he calls number 9, 10. And so therefore over there his agency also is not in effect because he's doing something to your detriment, not to your benefit. So given that, he fails on both of them. Mar says, Mishnah Mahaditnan. Why is this any different by the Mishnah that we have by regular Truma, Truma Gedola? The Omer L'shluchot Save It Arom. He says to his agent, go out and take off Truma on my behalf. Toreim kedat balabayit. You take off based on what you think the balabayit would have taken off. Mido raita chita achat puteret etakrit. One kernel takes care of everything. But nevertheless, the Chachamim instituted that people give 1/40th, 1/50th, or 1/60th, depending on how generous or miserly that they are. So here he should assess or what he thinks the balabayit would give. And he should do it based on what he thinks the balabayit should do. He has no clue what the balabayit would have given him. He gives the middle range, which is 1/50. If he doesn't know what the balabayit is going to give, and he might have intended to do 1/50, or he should have done 1/50, but nevertheless, he gave 1/10 less, or 1/10 more. The Rashi in the Ketav Yad reads it over here, means 1/40. Hosifa Sarai is 1/60. Tosaf on another place in the chest says you could just say the opposite. Picheta Sarai means you diminished it by 1/10, means 1/60. And then Hosifa Sarai means you added on 1/10, which means that you went up to 1/40. But either way, he deviated from what he should have been doing over here. Trumato, Truma. It works anyway. So how come over here we don't invoke the principle to Kunesh Shadatich Lo Levute? Why don't we say the same thing here? His agency should be terminated because he's not doing what the balabayit would have wanted in that case. So Amrei Otam came in the Ika the Tarim Bayin Yafeh, Ika the Tarim Bayin Yiroah. Over there, the options that he does are not outside the realm of possibility or outside the realm of reasonable assumptions. Amar l'achi amdam ticha, and therefore I assessed or I assumed that that's what you were. So therefore when he does 140th or 160th, he can say to him, listen, I thought you were a generous guy, I gave 140th. I thought you were miserly, I gave 160th. So even though that may not be the dat bala bayit, it's within the realm of what normal people would make decisions about, and therefore he's not considered to have abrogated his agency. Ha'ocha, in our case, ta'utohu, it's a complete mistake. Making 9-10 or making 11-10 is not a mistake that says, I made a subjective judgment mistake about what I thought you were, what you would have given. It's a complete and outright mistake. You did something wrong, and nobody does that. Nobody's supposed to make number 9-10 and number 11-10. Supposed to make number 10-10. So Amar lo yivaylo chlamite. He can say to him, he can say to the principal, can say to the agent, listen, I didn't send you to make mistakes. I sent you to do the right thing. If you're making mistakes already, you no longer have the rights of agency, and that's why it fails. So there's a difference between meiser beima, where the mistake is a complete mistake. It's not a judgment mistake. It's not a subjective mistake. It's an objective mistake. I didn't send you to ruin it for me. Therefore, your agency is terminated and it doesn't work. And according to Rav Papa, it's not kadosh. Not for number 9. And not for number 11. For a puppy, for 9 it will be. For 11 it won't be. But nevertheless, it's different than Trumak Dolah, whereby the person's making an assessment mistake. And he's saying, I thought you were generous. I thought you were miserly. And he's within the realm of normalcy. It's a mistaken judgment, but not a outright mistake. Over there, his agency will stand. Whatever he did is done. Because if the Balabait wanted it to be different, he should have specified it. In fact, he didn't specify it. In essence, leaves it up to the judgment of the agent to figure out what he thinks the Balabait would have done in this situation. And therefore, it works, even though he made a mistake in judging what the Balabait would have done. Okay, with that, we complete Masechet Bechorot. Tadron Alach Maser Beima. Maslik Allah Masechet Bechorot.